Hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Welcome to the Voices of Courage show. Today, we're talking about the courage to wake up and laugh. Wake up and have some fun here. You know, why am I laughing? Because, you know, I live a life of joy. I live a life of courage. I live a life of, I'm more interested in finding gratitude than complaints. I'm more interested in finding joy than worrying about stuff. No, I'm just, that's who I've become. You know, it's not where I started from, and that's who I've become. And, but today, you know, we have a society that's polarized, right? But in what is polarization? You know, it's really a symptom of unconscious identification. We confuse our opinions, our values, our beliefs, our choices, our rules with, you know, who we really are. Okay. In other words, we identify with things that really are outside of ourselves. We forget to identify with who we are at the core essence of ourselves. And when we do that, we start to polarize ourselves from each other. I'm this, you're that. I'm better than you. I'm greater than you. You know, polarization has competition as its as one of its core principles, right? Judgment's a core principle. And as a result of that, you know, we stop coming together. We stop communing. We believe that, you know, I'm now red and you're blue. Okay. And, you know, all my beliefs, you know, it's so funny because you're not red, you're not blue, you're not green, you're not purple, you're not black, you're not white, you're a soul. All of us are souls. But, you know, the unconscious mind likes to thrive on us versus them, right? You know, I'm the best, you're the worst, right? I'm against you. I'm against this. You're against that. You know, why do we need that? Because division is really just an ego structure. That's it. You know, consciousness invites humility, invites compassion, invites love into our lives. You know, and, you know, when I think of the polarization today, you know, we're polarized in fear. There's a lot of fear out there. You know, and fear collapses consciousness into reaction, right? As soon as you're afraid, you're reacting. You're not responding anymore to anything. You're just reacting. You're reacting to some belief, some identity, some choice you made, you know, to think this way. Really? You know, do you question your beliefs? I know I worked on my beliefs for years and years and years. Sometimes it really works. It actually works. You know, I get better. I'm more calm. I'm more peaceful. I'm more joyful. I'm more happy. And everybody can do this. Listen, I'm not greater than you or less than you. I'm just me, right? And that's really what this show's about today. You know, awakening doesn't mean choosing one side. It means seeing the whole. Higher awareness holds a paradox. It allows us to honor multiple truths without fragmenting into camps, right? Healing is really what we're talking about today. Healing this old consciousness of black and white thinking, polarized thinking, anything that separates us from our truth. What is truth? Well, truth is hard to see in this world. I grant it, right? It's hard to see because we live in relativity, right? You know, it's up and down, left and right, good and bad, you know, it's duality, and then, you know, it's all relative, you know. It's relative to, you know, where you stand in space and time as to what's showing up in your world. I get it. You get it. But listen, if your life is filled with chaos, if it's filled with unhappiness, if it's filled with struggle and strife, and, you know, welcome to the human race, right? But also, why are you living it that way? There are other choices. There are other ways to live. I found it. You can find it. And my guest is going to help us laugh our way through it in just a minute. So I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to have my very special guest, Steve Bierman, on the show. We'll be right back.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. a triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Welcome back, buddy. This is Ken D. Foster, and I am here with Steve Bierman, Swami Beyond Ananda. Swami, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm in my civilian outfit. The Swami is turban-powered, but we've left the turban aside. But I can still channel the Swami if need be.
I think you're going to need to channel that Swami in here, because we got a world that's filled with a lot of challenges today. Not that it hasn't always been that way, but it seems like more today. For those of you that don't know Steve Bierman, he's an internationally known author, humorist, and workshop leader. For over 40 years, he has written and performed as Swami Beyond Ananda, the cosmic comic. Swami's comedy has been called irreversibly uplifting. Love that. And has been described both as comedy disguised as wisdom and wisdom disguised as comedy. Author Marianne Williamson has called him the Mark Twain of our generation. On a more serious side, he's co-authored with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton and PhD, Spontaneous Evolution, and Our Positive Future and A Way to Get There from Here, Hay House 2009. That's a great book, by the way. Thank you for writing that. Thank you for bringing consciousness, humor to consciousness. I think that's the key here, man. So, you know, listen, it's been a while. You know, you and I've done a few things over the years, and I've always been laughing at the end. Why are you here today? Why are you here on this show?
Well, you know, as you said earlier in your introduction, we are living in very polarized times. And when there's not really a spiritual center in the society, my view is that people devolve into identifying with ideologies, with isms. And of course, the Swami's mission in taking us out of our head, putting us into our heart, is for all isms to become wasms, things of the past that we don't need anymore, because we're ready to engage heart to heart. And as you said earlier, rise above or wise above these dueling dualities and polarities to see the rightness of all positions, how many things can be true at the same time. And I know I'm going to sound like a hopeless hopium addict, but to bring left and right, front and center, to face the music and dance together. And as the Swami would add, to turn the funk into function and leave the junk at the junction.
Steve, is the Swami real? Come on.
Well, yeah, you know, it's very interesting. I like to say I got struck by enlightenment during a brainstorm. And the name Swami Beyond Ananda flew into my head while I was writing another newsletter many years ago. And, of course, all the Swamis, I didn't know that Ananda meant bliss, but there was Muktananda, Yogananda, Satchitananda, on and on and on Ananda. Yeah. And Beyond Ananda sounds very funny. I just did a program, believe it or not, in L.A. for the Hindu University of America. So here I am, white guy in a turban, doing comedy for all of these real Indian people. And they had such an appreciation of the name Beyond Ananda, yeah, that it's a pun on their sense of Ananda meaning bliss. And yet they did not take offense. They recognized that I was simply extending their wisdom tradition.
I love that. Well, okay, so, you know, Ananda means bliss, Beyonda, Ananda. What is beyond a bliss? What's beyond bliss?
Well, beyond bliss is just that the peaceful knowing that all is well. This is a peaceful knowing that all is well. This is the peace that passeth understanding. And very hard to attain in this world of noise. So what I like to say is that often why humor works is there's often an aha in the wake of the ha-ha, and then there's an ah as we leave the static of the head for the ecstatic of the heart. So to me, as I've thought about it over the years, that's what it means. It means really, in a way, beyond all distinctions.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you just a moment of stillness for my audience, if you take a breath in and you let it out and just go, oh.
Yeah.
You know, your body relax instantly.
Yeah, I learned that from Sai Baba.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I learned that from Sai Baba. Wow. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. How's Sai Baba these days? Yeah, I wonder.
Well, I don't know.
Well, he's out there.
He's the wizard of ah.
He's the wizard of ah and Vibhuti too. Yeah, remember Vibhuti?
Take your Vibhuti. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take it home with you, right?
Yeah, somebody brought me Vibhuti from Sai Baba. And I had a little thing. I probably still have it somewhere. I don't know. Probably.
You got it out of my head.
Well, you know, I hear this rumor that the Swami is going to be running for a precedent campaign. Why precedent and not president?
Well, you know what? We need a new precedent, and that's something that will precede any president. The precedent is, imagine, government of the people, by the people, for the people, where the government does the people's bidding and not the bidding of the highest bidder. And when I first started doing this in 2004 for that campaign, it was much more one-sided. It was much more politically one-sided. Now, the Swami has evolved to recognize that there are no sides, only angles. And when we see it from the right angle, we're all on the same side. If we really want to solve our problems, we need to call it political climate change, warmer hearts and cooler heads. And so, as Benjamin Franklin didn't quite say, if we don't laugh together, we will surely cry separately. So my campaign is to bring all sides together. My joke is, side-splitting laughter heal the split between the sides?
Well, you know, Trump's pitch, his theme was, America, what is it, America greatness, or, America great again. What's the Swami's?
Well, the Swami's pitch is time to get off the political battlefields onto the cooperative playing fields. And Swami has developed a 4-step program guaranteed to work 3 times faster than 12-step called the Great Upwising. Wake up, wise up, grow up, show up. Wake up to the illusion of separation. It's the political racket called divide and conquer. We've been divided into these two dueling tribes. Wise up for the coherent power of love, that we leave the field of these identity issues that keep us separate and focus on the identical issues that face us all. Clean air, clean water, clean food, clean government. Then we grow up from children of God to adults of good. And in that regard, we become politically mature, I would say, politically mature to where we get off of that blame, shame game and begin to be responsible co-creators of our lives and our communities. And finally, show up on a new playing field, ready to play a new game, thrival for each and all. And that is how the golden rule can overrule the rule of gold.
Well, I love all of that because it results in an upshift of consciousness.
Exactly. It's required. It's a required conscious evolution. You know, Bruce Lipton and I wrote Spontaneous Evolution as a serious book years ago. And the idea behind it was that it was calling for, instead of in the old days, there would be a revolutionary uprising to overthrow the system. But that keeps us on the wheel, right? The unmerry merry-go-round, the wheel of karma. However, when we create an evolutionary uprising to overgrow the system, levity helps lift us up off the battlefield. We see it from a higher perspective. And instead of dueling dualities, we have dynamic duo dance partners.
Well, I could tell this. I can tell you this for humanity. You know, I think it was the one of my other shows. One of the guests mentioned that the Chinese invented a sword, a chrome sword, 2,000 years ago, right? And you know, there's so many things that have been invented. You know, the water systems in Rome and things like that. You know, we're reinventing things over and over again, right? And we can save so much time and energy and really evolve humanity. We don't have to reinvent everything again and again and again. If we just do what Steve just said, wake up, wise up, grow up, and show up and upshift our consciousness so that we don't have the wars that wipe out everything, right? Imagine if we had a war today, Steve. You know, imagine. I mean, really, everything's in the cloud. You know, yeah. We'd be back in the dark ages, quite frankly.
Well, as the Swami says, if we lose the earth, there goes the GDP. So again, this is, it's a matter of perspective. Now, on a serious note, if I may, these have been called apocalyptic times, and apocalypse means the lifting of the veils. Mm. And Swami would call it the bringing down of the irony curtain, where we actually begin to recognize these tremendous ironies. Like here we are, the power of working together coherently, getting off the battlefield onto a new playing field. People are hungry to do this, but we're being fed these discordant, polarizing, I called it bipolar insanity, one of the great diseases of the mental illness of our body politic that keeps us on the battlefield. You know, and of course, the Swami says, well, if you find yourself on the vicious cycle, stop pedaling. So that's what we need to do, just waking up through laughter and go, what silly geese we are.
I love it. All right, listen, I got to take a quick break. We come back. I want to explore that a little bit deeper, Steve. The, you know, I don't know about most people listening to the show, but I think my audience wants to be on the playing field, not a battlefield. So I'd like to ask you, how do we get there? We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, with my very special guest, Swami Beyondananda, Steve Bierman. Swami, all right, battlefield versus playing field. I don't like the battlefield. Now, there's too much blood and guts and death and misery and suffering, and we've seen enough of that. You know, how do we get to the play field and just stay there? Can't we all play together?
You know, you said it earlier in the introduction that the battlefield is a function of the ego. The battlefield is a place where we want to be right, where we feel fearful, and consequently, we need to be on the defensive. One of Swami's missions in the Swami for President campaign is to put an end to erasism. Now, erasism is when one race wants to erase another race, and the other race says, not if we erase you first. Then they add an erase to the bottom. Okay, so the idea is that rather than mutually assured destruction, we want mutual benefit. And it's a simple step, even though it's not easy. So one way that we can begin to change the conversation is to recognize when we are motivated by fear or anger, when we're watching our favorite one-sided political argument, whether it's on this, you know, left or right, red or blue. Notice when you're being motivated by fear. Notice when you're being motivated by anger. Notice when you're buying a narrative that you don't totally believe, but you believe that you need to buy that narrative in order to not give aid and comfort to the enemy, right? I used to be on that side. I used to choose one side and say, well, we have one side that has sold its soul to the devil. The other side is just renting theirs. So I think we need to recognize that the issue is not this side versus that side, but all of us waking up to the battlefield and asking, is there a better way? For the last 3 years on the more serious side, I've been working with a colleague, Richard Flyer, to write a book called Birthing the Symbiotic Age, which I believe takes off from where a spontaneous evolution left off. It is an exploration of evolutionary projects that have worked. Richard worked in Reno, Nevada at something called the Conscious Community Network, where he built local food networks, get to know your neighbor network, buy local network, all of which were radically inclusive. That is, it included people of different points of view, but who all had the same interests in mind: clean food, clean water, clean government, etc. This work is based on the work of Dr. Aryaratne in Sri Lanka. I don't know if you're familiar with Parvodia, but this is a project that started with the poorest of the poor in 1958. Their slogan was, we build the road and the road builds us, and it scaled to 5,000 village economies in Sri Lanka. They've got their own businesses, their own banks, schools, their own child care centers. And this is, the Swami would joke, oh, they pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. But this is not something that's top-down charity. It's not one of these international organizations. It's not a nonprofit. It's a mutually beneficial, coherent movement. And so Richard's work in Birthing the Symbiotic Age is based on real stories of people getting off the battlefield and onto the cooperative playing field.
Well, you know, we have real battlefields in this world right now. We have, we have Russia, Ukraine going on. Let's just use that one. There's plenty of other ones out there I could use, but I'll just use that one. All right. You know, let's take, Swami's precedent campaign and let's apply it to this particular situation. How do we end up with a win-win-win for these two sides? I mean, you know, and where is that? Where's that thinking in the negotiation, right? How does the Swami approach this?
Well, going back to my favorite negotiator is Johann Galtung, who passed away a couple of years ago. And he had something called the fifth way. And we talk about this in Spontaneous Evolution. And here's an example of the fifth way. There were two countries in Central America arguing, actually physically battling over this disputed territory between the two countries. And they've got armies amassed. How did they solve the problem? So his fifth way did not involve I win, you lose. It did not involve you win, I lose. It did not involve walking away and pretending that conflict doesn't exist. It did not involve a compromise that was each side loses a little bit. It was a breakthrough solution. What did they do? They created this no man's land as a jointly operated multinational park area that they both have managed and they use together as something that they're sharing. So a breakthrough solution doesn't mean I lose and you lose. It means that there's something that creates a bigger win for everybody. Something else that I know you're familiar with, it's called the wisdom of crowds. And it's been shown, there was a book called The Wisdom of Crowds, and it's been shown that when groups of ordinary people get together and are given fairly balanced information of all sides, including the extremes, they come to a consensus. It's kind of like the bell-shaped curve. And I'm calling this, and Richard Flair is calling this, a sane and sacred center. And the sane and sacred center is what we all long for. With all the polarization, all of the polls tell us that most people in this country want to find a way for us to solve problems together. Well, there is a way. And Jim Ruff has created something called the Wisdom Council. And these are all systems for aggregating wisdom from diverse groups of people. So what if we were to have this? It could be done in any area where there's conflict. Ordinary citizens from the Ukraine, ordinary citizens from Russia, getting together and coming up with a plan. Now, Eisenhower said many years ago, he said that at some point, the people in the world are going to want peace. They're going to want it so badly and with such deep coherence that the governments of the world are going to have to give it to them. So part of the great uprising is recognizing that we need to create a coherent, sane, and sacred center worldwide around the golden rule, around some version of the golden rule, around some version of mutual benefit, because right now the sociopathogens are in charge.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it was, I forgot the doctor's name, who wrote the book Power Versus Force. Do you remember that?
Hawkins, yeah.
Hawkins, yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawkins. You know, and in that book, he measured consciousness through kinesiology and the science of kinesiology. And I guess today we'd call it muscle testing because the kinesiologists don't necessarily like it called that. But, you know, in any case, what happened is he saw that, you know, most of the world lives in fear. You know, he measured, you know, fear is one of the resonance of consciousness, right? And the bridge between fear and going to the higher levels of consciousness was courage, right? Yeah. So it was courage, the vibration of courage, you know, holding that space within us, which is one of the reasons that I called this show The Voices of Courage, because I know it's a bridge. It's where we need to be to go to higher levels. So, you know, how do we get there, man? How do we get the courage from this me versus you, this battlefield mindset, this competitive mindset? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with competition, especially self-competition. Yeah. Okay. But when we're trying to tear down somebody else, whether it be a nation or an individual, yeah, there's something off with that. We're not meant to do that.
You know, I read that the original Greek definition of competition was to strive together.
The winner beat the other. Yeah. There you go.
Athletes were competing. They weren't trying to beat the other guy. They were using each other as kind of pace cars, right?
That's right.
They're pace cars. And so to strive together means that we really all want to achieve success. And we have created a false dichotomy. I mean, think about it. The two great principles of America, one is individual sovereignty and freedom and collective well-being. Why do these two have to be in opposition? They can both grow at the same time. The more power I have to be myself, that's the real minority right is the right for everyone to be themselves and not have to hide behind some identity group to fight some other identity group. This is really, it is a conscious evolution. And I'm sure that, you know, there have been many studies that show that this is the beginning of the curve. We're really on the beginning part of this evolutionary curve. This is the leading edge. But in this era, if we are to survive, a critical mass of the heretofore uncritical masses have to amass and recognize, wait a minute, we're much better off cooperating together than fighting one another, because if you look at it from a biological standpoint, what we have is autoimmune dysfunction. We have healthy cells on the red side, healthy cells on the blue side, fighting each other and using all of that energy on the battlefield. What if we took that energy, withdrew from the battlefield? So to answer your question, courage, core, is a quality of the heart. And if I may dare to say so, the masculine and feminine qualities of the heart, courage and compassion. And right now, because of the polarization, long conversation about how it happened politically, but we've got all of the compassion on the blue side and all of the muscle on the red side. And so isn't it interesting that red is Mars energy? That's a masculine energy. Red is also about anger. Something very interesting happened in the election of 2000, and that somehow the Republicans got designated as the red tribe and the Democrats the blue tribe. Red is hot, cool is, blue is cool, right? So interestingly, we've got that polarization going on, when the truth is that we need, body politic needs two wings in order to fly, right? Left wing and right wing. So it's bringing these together in coherent conversation that serves a higher purpose. And that gets back to the wisdom of the crowds.
Well, I like what you said about a lot of this. And, one of the things you said is, we've got a critical mass. And you went the critical mass and it needs to be uncritical mass or whatever you said. It was really good. But I think we need to go into what you're talking about. We got to get rid of a critical mass and go into a learning mass or a cooperative mass or coherent mass, because, I turn on the TV like everybody, and maybe not everybody does it anymore, but at least I do. I like to watch both sides. And what I see on both sides, at least politics in the United States, is they basically all saying the same thing. They're both criticizing each other and competing with one another, and this one's bad and this one's good. And they try to put it into a mass that looks like they have some compassion, but everybody goes, there's no compassion here. They just want to show what's wrong. They want to show the dramatic moments of in the worst part of society on a continuous basis. And that part has to change too. I mean, it has changed quickly. That part, feeding people's mind with critical thinking and looking at destruction and looking at what's wrong. Let's start looking at what's right. Let's start looking at it. Let's start focusing on all the goodness that is in the world, right? We can notice what's not working. But man, can you imagine me sitting down and every day thinking about all the shit that I've done in my life and focusing on that and then looking at everything that's wrong and broadcasting that to the world just on an individual basis, right? Imagine everybody doing that, going out there and telling everybody all their problems every single day. It's almost the world we have, quite frankly. But it doesn't work.
That's why the election results were one reason why the election turned out the way it did. Is because there's been a tiring of a grievance system where people who have grievances aggregate together to identify by their grievances. Yeah. And so it's really very difficult to find what's working. And it creates disheartenment in the heartland. Now, we're not talking about denying.
In the heartland, in this heartland, yeah. That's correct.
Individual heartland and in the national heartland. So when you're only focusing on what's not working, you're simply going to get more of what's not working.
That's it.
And that's how, and again, my joke was in the last couple of elections, asking people, so who are you voting against? Nobody voted for this one or they're voting against the other one.
Right.
And so that's really how we've devolved. And so it's interesting in marketing, and I hate this term. I understand it, but I hate it. It's find the pain point. Right? So we're always looking for a pain point, meaning something that is under your skin, something that's irksome, something that you want to change, something that's not quite right, and then you mark it to the pain point. But when you start with politics, then you simply create an enemy on the other side, you know, a straw man or straw woman or straw transgender or whatever, and that becomes who you're campaigning against. But you're never really for anybody or anything.
Well, you know, I turn on the news and I crack up. I mean, I listen to the blues and they're talking about what happened in the past presidency. I'm like, okay, great. I listen to the Reds and they're talking about, the Reds are talking about what happened in the past presidency and the Blues. And the Blues are talking about what's all wrong with the presidency now. And it was that way, you know, it's been going that way for years and decades. I mean, it's like,
to break the trend. So
who cares? Who cares?
Well, a lot of people care because they identify with an organization or a tribe or a way of thinking that is not unifying. And one of the great things about Richard Schleyer's book on symbiotic age, it says we need to create relational networks so that people who disagree can actually collaborate on the things that they agree on, which turn out to be, you know, there's certain things that 90% of us who are not sociopaths agree should be happening, but we can't organize. I mean, we can't organize to, let's say, hold our governance accountable because we have to defend our side shadow rather than look at our side shadow, lest we give aid and comfort to the enemy.
And quite frankly, that doesn't work either, right? So what we got, what we have to do at this point is we got to redefine what is important, I believe. And I mean, there's things that, like, I know, you know, in the school system, you know, you probably hear me on several of my shows now. It's like, really, let's look at our school system. It's completely antiquated. It hasn't been changed since the 1800s. We don't teach children about consciousness. We don't teach children how to use their mind. Quite frankly, we don't teach children about health. We don't teach them about finance. We don't teach them how to be an entrepreneur. We don't teach them how to be self-sufficient. We teach them, you know, math and reading and writing and arithmetic. I mean, come on, really? The human amazing, brilliant gift that this body and this mind is just so dumbed down. And then, you know, it leads to, like you just said, I need to belong to a team. Even if I don't like the team's politics, I feel good when they win. Like, really? Well, you know, it's insanity.
It's a deplatforming of God and the deplatforming of a spiritual center. It's a misinterpretation of not establishing a religion in this country. So consequently, I mean, schools should be teaching about all religions. They should be teaching about all religions, right?
All of them.
Should say, and by the way, all of these religions have a very similar code of behavior operating system, and that's what we are to focus on rather than ideological wokeness and all of this other nonsense.
All right.
Simply a mental structure to replace a spiritual understanding.
Of course. And why don't we teach children about who I am, why am I here, what the purpose of life is, how we create meaning, how, you know, it's that place. Because at that point, when we can get to that place, the dogmas go away when we really understand who we are. The dogmas go away because we understand there's the essence of the soul that's in me, it's in Steve, it's in everybody. It's there. You know, there's only one religion. Okay. If you believe in God, there's only one God. Okay. Everything comes out of that. So if you get rid of these ideologies and these dogmas, we become genuine, authentic, beautiful beings of light, of love, of joy, of happiness, of creativity, of unlimited potential. But that's not in our schools. It's not in our media, other than like here, it's here. You're here, Steve. Yep. Thank God.
We have a battlefield of two obsolete paradigms. One
that's very good.
One obsolete paradigm is the top-down imposed religious paradigm,
right.
And the other is the God doesn't exist scientific materialist paradigm.
Right.
And the dominant paradigm in our culture right now is the God doesn't exist scientific material paradigm, which is why so many of these well-meaning individuals and organizations are going for some kind of a structural or material fix without recognizing that fundamentally it's our relationship with spirit, it's our relationship with one another, and our relationship with our own soul that is the most important. And there is no structure, there is no system, it's no ism that can replace that inner knowing and inner connection and connection with one's soul.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break, Steve. I'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Kendi Foster with Steve Bierman. Love our conversation, Steve. And, you know, if I'm just going to further what you said, you know, if you're chasing things outside of yourself, you know, you're chasing jobs and cars and girls and or men if you're a woman, or you're chasing, you know, some kind of material thing out there, you know, you'll find happiness. You will. Yeah. But it'll last, you know, about, you know, a day, a week, a month. I don't know. And that's it. If you want real happiness, real connection with oneself, you got to go within. That's what Steve's talking about. We got to find our own soul, our own spirit. And once you find that, then you become part of the solution instead of part of the problem. Because everybody's out there trying to fix things. It's the blind leading the blind, no doubt. You know, but when you wake up, you realize that the soul is within us. It's a very real thing, okay? That we're really here to learn, to grow, to evolve, to become this God self, right? That's in all of us, okay? When you understand
about that in our public education, you can't talk about that in the universities. That's been preempted and replaced by a mental structure that, to be quite frank, is a lot more like the Chinese Cultural Revolution than it is like the American Revolution.
Very interesting. Well, you know, fortunately, the enlightened scientists, the ones that have really studied quantum physics, quantum mechanics, string theory, neuroscience, I can go on and on with those, the ones that really understand, okay, that have taken it down to the depth, understand that everything is connected. Everything is one. There's no separation. And when we start to understand that, you know, when the universities finally figure that out, you know, when we start to live from a consciousness of oneness, I'm you, you're me, okay? We are one. And what happens, what I do to myself, what I do to you impacts everybody, right? And what we do to this planet impacts, you know, it impacts all of us. Like you said, the five finger thing, right? You know, you cut off one finger, you the rest of the fingers are impacted. Right? We gotta switch this around. All right, listen, you got about 2 minutes. Final thoughts.
Okay. Huh. Well, you know, I'm gonna come back to humor.
And by the way, how do people get a hold of you, Steve?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm at wakeuplaughing.com. I'm also doing a Substack called Signs of the Uprising, as an uprising. You can find that on Substack. And also, my Swami for President campaign. I don't know if you can flash that link on the screen, but this is we're about to launch in March the campaign, and I'm available at wakeuplaughing.com. Oh, there you go. There's the
There's the graphic. Let's give them the link.
Okay, good. It's a long, long link. Did I?
Just say it, Steve.
Oh, you won't find this at Wake Up Laughing. It's on a separate page with a very long URL. Let me see. How about?
Oh, I see. Okay, so yeah. maybe we can put this on in a moment here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just put that. Have him click on that link. We can put it in. Is there a chat here or something?
There's not a chat. No, we're. Okay.
Maybe when you publish the.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, I think that's best. And I think it's really important. I've been serious because, again, this is, you know, I'm applying myself to very serious situations, and you ask questions that I think we need to address. But I'm going to leave you with the idea that when we all laugh together, we create a field. We call it Om Field Advantage, where we're all out. There's the Swami for President. Very good. That's the old cover. We're going to recover the new cover very soon, the new campaign. Of course, that was taken many years ago. They would never let us do a flyover of the White House like that now. Wouldn't happen now.
Well, I love that, Steve. And I love that you're here. Honestly, you should run for president. I'm telling you.
I mean, it was a campaign, and I'm to join the campaign to elect ourselves. On a serious note, my friend and colleague, Joseph McCormick, one of the trans pioneers in transpartisan politics, back in the 2000s, he got a grant to interview everybody, all the luminaries from Ralph Nader and Noam Chomsky on this side, to Grover Norquist and Ross Perot on that side. And all of them had the same assessment of our political new word situation. And that was that what was lacking was political engagement. Somehow we've passively given it over to a mommy state or the daddy state. And Swami says, whether it's the mommy state or the daddy state, either way you end up with Big Brother. And so the solution is bigger brotherhood, sisterhood, and loving one anotherhood.
Yeah. Well, that's what we need, and we need it now. And you're a big part of that, Steve. So thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us and, you know, with your wisdom and your understanding. And hey, I'm all part of your campaign, brother.
You are too. And I appreciate the courage aspect of it. Very important quality of the heart.
It's the quality of the heart. Absolutely. All right. Well, from my heart to yours, thank you for joining us, and continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible by watching this show every week. Take care.